beginning a new sugya, so I'm not remember comes not yet ready, but it's really a continuation in a certain sense of the previous sugya. The last sugya we learned about sukkahs that were made not for the express purpose of the mitzvah sukkah. We spoke about the sukkahs made by the goyim or made by the kusim or made by the women, things that weren't technically done for the purpose of the shema of a sukkah. We said, it's okay, it doesn't matter, sukkahs get vach, everything is fine. So now the Mishnah and the Gemara, the Testament Aleph, begin to question that very premise. Is it really true that a sukkah doesn't have to be made l'shema? We were working with that assumption for quite some time. So the Mishnah tells us it was actually Machlokes Dibei Shabbos Hillel. That's the reason why we were assuming that way is because that's what we paskin. We follow the view of Beis Hillel that a sukkah need not be made l'shema. But Beis Shammai was of the opinion that yes, a sukkah has to be made l'shema. If a sukkah is not made l'shema, it's not acceptable even min haTorah. What was the source of the Machlokes Dibei Shabbos Hillel? So the starting point of all mitzvahs is you don't have to create a chevetz of a mitzvah l'shma. It's a mashal shofar. There's no halacha that you have to make a shofar l'shma. There are many, many mitzvahs that are lulav. You don't have to cut the lulav off the tree l'shma. So the starting point is, unless the Torah says to the contrary, so why would one think that one has to create the chevetz of l'shma? So sometimes the Torah does say to the contrary. So let's say the mashal by matzah, according to a little bit in the end of the Yerma. So by matzah, according to many opinions, the shmart versa matzos means that the matzah does have to be made l'shma. So that may or may not be a good example. We'll have to see as we go on. Or let's say tzitzis. So tzitzis probably do have to be made l'shma. The Torah does speak about gedilim tasa l'chol l'shma. So we have to find the source. If you want to tell me that a sukkah has to be made l'shma, you better find me a source for it. So b'shamai derived it from a pasuk. B'shamai tzitzchak sukkah tasa l'chol. L'chol very often has the connotation of l'shma. It reminds me of get because of law l'shma. So according to b'shamai tasa l'chol means l'chol. You have to make a sukkah l'shma. If not, it's possible in a Torah. And Beis Hillel say that's not what the pasuk means. Beis Hillel had a whole different interpretation of what l'chol means. That opens up for further discussions about the l'cha maybe means that if it's a stolen sukkah, it's not acceptable. Maybe there is no requirement l'shma. So when all the dust settles, it's a machlokes Beis Shabbos Hillel, whether a sukkah has to be made l'shma or not. So we, of course, paskin like Beis Hillel, that a sukkah need not be made l'shma. But nevertheless, much of our sugya now is going to be based off the words of Beis Shammai. So don't be wondering why we're spending so much time on Beis Shammai, first of all. You have to learn even Beis Shammai Shita. But number two, all of the principles that we're going to develop within the view of Beis Shammai are now going to become applicable according to Beis Hillel within other mitzvahs that do require l'shma. Because we're going to spend a lot of time now talking about some of the parameters of l'shma, about a mitzvah that l'halacha we don't even accept has to be l'shma in the first place. But all the principles we're going to derive, we're going to discuss and elaborate upon, will be able to be derived from here to matzah, and from here to tzitzis, and from here to tefillin, etc. All those mitzvahs that everybody accepts ultimately do have to be made l'shma. So one of the principles begins with the Mishnah, Daf Tesav and Aleph, where the Mishnah discusses a sukkah yeshana, speaks about an old sukkah, a sukkah that was made a couple of months ago. It was made in the middle of July. It made a nice sukkah in the backyard, not necessarily for the mitzvah of sukkah. So the Mishnah says, according to Beis Hillel, that's okay, because it doesn't have to be l'shma anyway. But according to Beis Shammai, we run into a problem. According to Beis Shammai, a sukkah yeshana would not be acceptable. Then the Mishnah goes on and says, what if a person built the sukkah within 30 days before Yom Tov? So then the Mishnah says, that's for sure okay. That's fine, even according to Beis Shammai. Even though the person didn't do it explicitly for the purposes of sukkah, we assume that within 30 days, that's also all right. That still meets the criteria of lishma, even according to Beis Shammai. Again, according to Beis Hillel, it's a moot question. Even from 6 months ago, it would be okay. But even within the view of Beis Shammai, who insists that a sukkah be made lishma, within 30 days is all right. Why is that okay? My high within 30 days is all right. So Rashi explains that 30 days before Yom Tov, people are already talking about the Yom Tov, they're already thinking about the Yom Tov, they're already, I guess, Pesach time, they're already worrying about the Yom Tov, they're already stressing about the Yom Tov. So people get already into the Yom Tov mode. So if a guy built a sukkah within 30 days before Sukkot, we assume stumble l'shma. We assume that he probably meant to build it l'shma, even though he didn't articulate it, he didn't express it clearly. But it's understood. That's probably what he meant, that he meant to build l'shma. A guy builds a sukkah in the middle of April, 6 months before Sukkot. If he says explicitly l'shma, then he said l'shma. But if he didn't say l'shma, then it's not necessarily l'shma, unlike within 30 days. So we have to focus on this halach, this chiddush, which is again is a din deraisa, because according to Beis Shammai, the requirement of a sukkah l'shma is a din in a Torah, and afal pi chein, the Mishnah is chiseling away and telling us that the standards for l'shma are not so high. As long as it's within 30 days, it's stumble l'shma, that would also be acceptable. So the question is, What is the nature? What is this all about? This idea that it's stam lishma, was made stam for the purposes of sukkah, and that's going to be okay. So in order to understand why that should or should not be something that we should be addressing, we have to go back to general discussions about lishma. Again, lishma that permeates many, many areas of halacha. So for sure there's din of lishma by the writing of a get. And we're machmer that there's a din of lishma by making matzahs. And there's a din of lishma by making tzitzis. There's a din of lishma by writing tefillin. And by blachening yiritzuas. A lot of cases in halacha that require lishma. There is a major question that we've shown him what lishma means, or perhaps what lishma doesn't mean. So the Rosh, in the beginning of Hilchas Sefer Torah is printed in the end of Maseches Menachos. That's snuck into Menachos because there are about 15 plot or so in Maseches Menachos in the third and the fourth Brachim that talk about all the details of Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzahs, and Tzitzis. How in the world did it sneak into Menachos? Because the Mishnah in the third Brachim of Menachos is talking about different parts of a mincha that are ma'akev one another. When a person brings a mincha, so you have to bring flour and oil. What if a person brings flour and doesn't bring oil? Brings oil doesn't bring flour. So the Mishnah says certain parts of halacha are ma'akim and certain parts are lechatchila. So the Mishnah uses that as a springboard to talk about all other cases in halacha when you have multiple components, multiple parts that are given mitzvah, which parts are absolutely critical and which parts you can get away with. So the Mishnah goes through kol tarkula, and some of the examples the Mishnah talks about is whatever you have tefillin and you only have three parshas, you don't have four parshas. So is that ma'akev? Can you still put on the three parshas? Or whatever you have a mezuzah and you only have one of the parshas, you forgot to write Vayam Shema, you have a half mezuzah. So is that ma'akev or not? What if you have only three strings of tzitzis? What if you have only three quarters of tzitzis and you're missing the fourth quarter? So the Mishnah goes, delineates case by case, what is ma'akev, it's not ma'akev. So Chazal took the opportunity, the Amoraim took the opportunity to begin to discuss all the intricacies of Ilchus tefillin, mezuzah, sefer Torah, and tzitzis on these Mishnayos. So it's a strange little, those who are learning Kachim, there's a little bit of a break, a 15 to 18 vlad break from pure Kachim to the world of sefer Torah, tefillin, then you get right back into Kachim again. But anyway, again, for those who learn Daf Yomi, Kachim is right around the corner, so it's a little bit of something to look forward to. Hopefully all Kachim is like to look forward to, but it's a little break in the middle of Kachim. Let's get back to the story. So the Rosh in the beginning of Hilchas Sefer Torah quotes the name of Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch was one of the Balei Tosfos. Rabbeinu Baruch wrote the Sefer HaTruma. Rabbeinu Baruch had the following shaila. He's not sure. Whenever the halacha requires lishma, whether it's the writing of Sefer Torah, get matzah, etc., does it have to be verbalized? Does it have to be articulated with words? Or maybe lishma just means thought. As long as I'm thinking, I didn't say anything. I didn't say any mukham zuman to make matzahs. I didn't say any mukham zuman to write it yet. As long as I'm thinking about it, I'm having in mind to do it, that would be good enough. So what's the din? So sofik is a shal level deraisa. What's the din? What should the din be? Do we have any rayas one way or another? So Ben Abarach begins by discussing different areas of halacha where sometimes dibur is required. And sometimes machshava suffices. So he starts to give you a tour through a shas called Tarkula to try to see, does the halacha take into consideration what a person thinks? Does the halacha require that a person has to actually verbalize it? So the problem is that we get different answers in different areas of halacha. So one of the examples that Rabbeinu Baruch raises is hafrashas truma. You know, the din, if a person has produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to separate trumas and maizrus. So the Gemara in Kiddushin, second paragraph in Zalman Pasuk, the nechshav lachem trumaschem, that one need not verbalize the hafrashas truma. One can just simply think, a person has 10 apples here, and he has in the back of his mind, one little small part of that apple should be truma. And he has in the back of his mind, didn't say a word. That should be ma'isin. That's okay. Chumas and ma'isin is a chava machshava. So Rebbe Baruch says that maybe just as chumas and ma'isin is a chava machshava, maybe we can create a lishma. We can write a get with a machshava's lishma. We can make matzahs machshava lishma. We could write sefer Torah for mezuzahs with a machshava's lishma. Well, maybe no. Maybe that area of halacha is a little bit different. After all, chumas and ma'isin is not exactly lishma. It's not exactly the same area of halacha. So it's hard to know. Can we extrapolate? Can we not extrapolate? So then Rebbe Baruch says, let's look for other areas of halacha that are a little bit closer to the nature of lishma and lo lishma. So he came up with another area of halacha. Yes, he had his mind on Seder Kachim. So he said, let's look in the realm of Avodas HaKarbonos. The din is that when one brings a korban, so one is supposed to be having in mind certain things, and even more important, one is not allowed to have in mind certain other things. There are certain, quote-unquote, machshavos, for lack of a better term right now, there are certain machshavos that disqualify a korban. What are those machshavos? And again, I didn't yet define whether machshava means dibur or machshava, literally. What are the machshavos that disqualify a korban? So there are basically three, and then there's a fourth, very, very unique kind of a machshava. So one of the machshavas can potentially affect the korban. Now we need a little bit of introduction to kachim before we can understand where Rabbeinu Baruch is coming from, before we can come back to the sukkah issue. So one of the most basic machshavas that can potentially cause trouble in the realm of korbanos is a machshava shelo lishma. If a person does an avodas korban, whenever we speak about avodas korban, we're talking about four different avodas, four stages of korbanos that are critical. One is the shechitas korban. One is the kabbalas adam, the receiving of the blood and the kli. One is the halachas adam, the walking of the blood to the mizbeach. And the fourth is the zrikas adam, agaviyah mizbeach. So those are the four basic avodas adam. And then when one brings a korban mincha, so then there are parallel avodas in terms of korban mincha. We'll leave that up for now, just in terms of maseches vachim. So the ABCs are, there are four avodas adam: shechita, kabbalah, halacha, and zrika. Each one of those stages, one is supposed to have in mind lishma. Lishma meaning, you should have in mind what the korban is. If you bring an ola, have in mind for an ola, not for shlomim. If you bring a chatas, have in mind a chatas, not an asham. And you have to have in mind with the bialim of who the owner of the korban is. So that's the basic ABCs of machsheves lishma that has to be done for the purpose of that specific korban, as well as for the owner of that korban. Whatever person makes a mistake, person goofs, and he had in mind for a different carbon, so he shechts a carbon, ola, and he says, "Hinei mukhlam zuman l'shem asham." So then so he realizes, "Wait a second, there's an ola." What's the din? Is if a person violated this din and shechted something, or he did kabbalah, halacha, zrika, shalol l'shma, is that only a lechatchila, or does that actually invalidate the carbon? So he had the very first mission of Masechus Vachim, and those who learned Afyomi, it's coming around, if I'm not mistaken, Kachim begins. So the ABCs of Kachim are, that it depends what kind of a carbon it is. If it's a type of a carbon, a regular, plain, simple carbon, a carbon oil, a carbon shlam, a carbon toida, these kinds of carbonos, the simple level carbonos, so then you made a mistake. You thought you weren't supposed to do what you did. It was also what you did. But b'di'evit, the korban's going to be kosher. B'di'evit, the korban's kosher, but it doesn't count. So what does it mean it doesn't count? If you took a ned that you're going to bring a korban ola, then you weren't yotze your ned with that animal. You'd have to bring another animal. So the Gemara derives this from Sukkim, that the first mission Zvachim begins, kol ha-zvachim shenizbuch shlo l'shman, so k'sherim, el shlo ola b'ayam l'shem choyva. That the korban mitam, when you use that brisket terminology, the chefts of the korban is kosher. So you can continue doing the avodas of korban. You can put part of it on the mizbeach. You can eat the korban. It has full-fledged conditions korban. So it's okay. The korban is kosher. It doesn't have to be destroyed. It doesn't have to be burnt. But the gavra wasn't Yaitzia's obligation. And he will be obligated to bring another korban. If he didn't take a ned to bring a korban, so then he doesn't have any more obligation. But if he took a ned to bring a korban, then once he brings the korban, the korban's kosher, but he wasn't yotzi his obligation.
That's the baal korban. How about the kohen?
The kohen, nothing happened. He did an aveira. If he did it amazing, he did an aveira. He's not allowed to bring a korban shalol l'shma. So machlekes rishon, whether that's in his arrest or in his alav, but
meaning the kohen has the wrong shava, but the baal has
the
right.
No, everything alcohol or even everything depends upon the person who's physically doing the avodah. It doesn't matter what the Bible thinks. So comes the Mishnah, it says by 99% of the Kabbalos, if you did it shalom shmo, but the avodah korban's kosher, el shalom b'adam shem choyva. Two exceptions are, one is a korban chatas, one is a korban pesach. If you shech the korban chatas shalom l'shma, the korban is pasul, and as a korban that's pasul, it has to be burnt. You can't eat it. It's also better to eat it. As well as a korban pesach, if you shechted a korban pesach shalol l'shma, you shechted a pesach or a pesach come to the base of mikdash 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you say shechinim luchan zul l'shem ola, and you shechted. That's mamish pasul. It's pasul b'diavad. It would have to be burnt, and you have to obviously bring another one. So those are the only two exceptions: chatas and a pesach. And the Gemara learns this all straight psukim. Mamish right out of psukim, first temple out of Maseches Vachim, go through the details how we know all of these didn't. So that's the first machshava that we speak about, the machshava shalol l'shma. Then there's a more serious machshava, and that's a machshava ha-piseles. If a person does a machshava, and again, we didn't yet define whether machshava means b'peh or b'lev, a person does machshava sa-korban, and they have in mind that they're going to, or they said, whatever the details are, they had in mind, so they said, that they're going to eat the korban, what's called chutz l'mekomo. Every korban has its own delineated place where you're allowed to eat it. The basic rule is kachim have to be in Be'azara. Kachim kalim can be in Bechol Eir in all of Yerushalayim. This is also all learned from Sukkim. In the Mishkan, there was no Azara, there was no Kol Eir. In the Mishkan, there was the Chatzar HaMishkan, which had the courtyard, which had the status of the Azara. Then there was the Machli Yisrael, which had the status of Yerushalayim. So the Pesukim speak about it, Pashas Tetzav, and other places, Pashas Tetzav, about where exactly you're allowed to eat Kachim Kachim, and where you're allowed to eat Kachim Kalim. So the Teshuva Peh extrapolates from here to the model of Yerushalayim, that the Azara is the halach equivalent of the Chatzar, and Yerushalayim is the halach equivalent of the Machli Yisrael. So there are dinim in the Torah that you have to eat a korban in certain places. So Kachim Kachim have to be eaten in a much smaller area. They're a high level of Kedusha, so they have more limitations. Kachim Kalim can be consumed in the entire city. So comes the Kohen, he goes out and he does the Avodas HaKorban. He says, he knows it's a Shlomim. Hini Mucham Zumin, I know it's a Shlomim. And I'm doing it, I'm shechting it on the condition that I'm going to take the meat to Tel Aviv today. So you're not allowed to do that. So that's called the Machshavah Schutz the Mekomo. So that Machshavah disqualifies the Korban. The Korban is possible right away, even if you don't take it outside. If you take the meat outside, then it's what's called Psul Yotzei. Even if you didn't take it outside, you Mamash in Yerushalayim, you had second thoughts. Somebody screamed to you and said, you can't do that. I said, all right, fine, I'll eat it. Yep, too late. Once you shechted or you did the Kabbalah, you did the Loch and the Zrika, the Shei Machshavah Schutz the Mekomo. So that in and of itself disqualifies the Korban. The Gemara learns this all out from Sukkim. All Teshuva Peh derives this from a series of Psukim in Chumash. So that's what's called Machshavah. What are the ramifications of eating that korban? So it's bad, but not so bad. Yechayev Malkus. It's a possible korban. It's like any other possible korban. If you eat a korban, that's possible. That's a chayev Malkus. You're required to now burn it, like Psulia Mugdoshin. And if you eat it, it's a yechayev Malkus for that. No, it's not pickle. That's why I'm building up the excitement. So then we get to the third level. So we started out with the first level, Shalol Lishma, that doesn't really pass on the korban. Maybe it prevents you from being yotzei your mitzvah, or if it's a chatas or a pesach, it passes, but then it doesn't, by and large, pass on the carbon. Chutzim koma pass on the carbon with the chiyah malchus. And then there's the next level called chutz lezmano. Chutz lezmano means that's what's called pigol. Chutz lezmano means that a person either shechted kabbalah locha zrika, and he had either in mind or said, we don't know yet what the answer to that critical question is, he did it, that every korban has a specific zman as well. So the general rule is that kachim kachim have to be in for a day and a night. It means that I bring a korban 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I can eat it the duration of that day as well as the entire night. Kachim kalim usually get the next day as well. Get the psukim and pashas tzav. The kachim kalim generally get that day, the night, and then the following day. I say generally because there are two exceptions to that. There's a korban tod, a korban el nozer, the korban that the nozer brings. So those are kachim kalim, but a quirk, they only get yom v'layla. So again, that's a yotzim and a klal. Those are based on psukim. So we just chazuk ezim korban. So we say ezim korban every morning. So this is rather to be a tongue. So kachim kachim are yom v'layla, kachim kalim are l'shnei yom v'layla echad, and tod v'el nozer are kadoshim kalim shchatas v'chom chuzav v'dabatan shnei batan shnayv v'echad v'flim v'chom liyom v'layla chatzos. They're the yotzei. Pesach is legamri yotzim and a klal. Pesach is a total yotzim and a klal. That it's kachim kalim. And according to some Torah, it's not even Nechal Pes Chatzos. And according to others, it's like a Tov Dinel Nozer that gets until for the duration of the night. So what if a person went ahead and he shechted his korban, or he did Kabbalah Saddam, or he did Halacha Saddam, or he did Zrika Saddam, and he had this machshava of Chutz Lezmano. So that's a disaster. That's a royal disaster. That's the worst thing you can do to the korban. That makes it into pigol. And once it's pigol, if you eat it even now, not even eat it afterwards, if you eat it afterwards, that's a different problem. If you eat it mamish 5 minutes later, but you ate a carbon that you had a machshava shelo chutz lezmano one, that's called pigol and you chayv karis for that. So there's a hierarchy in psulei karbonos. First is shelo lishma, which is not so terrible. Then chutz lekoma, which is a little worse. And the chutz lezmano, that's the worst of the worst of the worst. That's a total disaster. Those are the three basic levels. That we just chazed very quickly the first two prakim of Masechet Zvachim. If you get daf yomi, you'll see everything we just said is just the bamish, the ABCs of the first two prakim of Masechet Zvachim. Then there's a fourth, we're still getting back to the Sukkim, a little while to go. Then there's a fourth potential psul machshava that is unique to Korban Pesach, so a little bit in Yonah V'Yoma. And that's what's called machshava chutz la'ochlin. So machshava chutz la'ochlin means that a person shechts a Korban Pesach, and he knows who the owners are, and he has in mind that the people who are going to eat from the Korban Pesach happen to be people who are not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. What's wrong with them? Either they're tummy, or they're a relim, or perhaps there are other, or they didn't join up to the Korban Pesach, what's called Shalom Rabbanuyim. There are people who, halakhically, are not permitted to partake of this Korban Pesach, or of any Korban Pesach for that matter, some of them. That's called Machshavas Chutz La'Ochlim. So comes the series of Psukim, the Gemara Maseches Psachim, in the fifth pack, derives all these dinner from Psukim and Pashas Bo, that if a person goes ahead and he shechts the Korban with Machshavas Psul Ochlin, that can disqualify the entire Korban Pesach. That's a whole, that's a din. It doesn't appear by other Korbanos. That's a special, unique din, a Machshavas Ochlin by Korban Pesach. However, there's a quirk. Machshavas Ochlin by Korban Pesach only applies b'shas Shechita. Doesn't apply to the other Avodos. The Gemara derives this from Psukim. And number two, it only applies if it was called Machshavas Ochlin Legamrei. If it's mitzvahs ochlin, it doesn't pass. What does that mean? Let's say there are 10 people who are joined onto the Korban Pesach. 5 of them have a bris and 5 don't. So the guy has in mind, I'm shechting this Korban Pesach for these 10 people. So that's not called machshavas ochlin to disqualify it, because that's only mitzvahs ochlin. Mitzvahs ochlin no posla. If all 10 are arelim, that's the problem. All 10 are tmeim, that's the problem. But if some of them are tummy, some of them are not. Some of them are mulim, some of them are arelim, that doesn't disqualify the Korban. Mikzas Ochlin Lo Pasla. So now that we gave an introduction to all the different psulim and machshava, so comes Rabbi Baruch and says, let's go back to those psulim and machshava and ask ourselves, well, what are those psulim and machshava? Are those psulim and machshava b'machshava? Are those psulim and machshava b'dibor? So Rabbi Baruch says, it would appear to him that those are b'dibor. We'll have to see, if I get to this tomorrow, how in the world he knew that. That whenever the Torah speaks about machshava, machshavas pigal, machshavas shloch, chutzim kamo, machshavas eichel, machshavas shema. All four categories of all the psulim machshava are not really machshava. We know they're really dibor. So you see that when the Torah speaks about doing things with incorrect intention, the Torah is insisting on dibor. Only dibor qualifies as incorrect intention. Comes Rebbeinu Baruch and says, now we can extrapolate from there, this is closer to home. There are pashas in the Torah of incorrect intention, and then there are pashas in the Torah of correct intention. So let's say, Lamashal, when you make tzitzis, you're supposed to have the correct intention. You write a get, you bake matzahs, or sukkah according to Bishamai. You're supposed to have the right intention. So what's called having the right intention? It says Rebbeinu Baruch, just as in Kutchim, having the wrong intention is defined by expressing it verbally, orally. That's what the Torah considers to be a machshava. Machshava equals dibor in hukha shalolishma. So too in hukha shalolishma, the mitzvahs, the chetzas, the dvarim shebu kedusha that require lishma. Lishma means it has to be expressed lishma. It's not enough just to simply think lishma. That was Rebbeinu Baruch's raya. So we needed a 10-minute introduction to get to Rebbeinu Baruch, raya. Is that true? Is the raya correct or not? So Rebbeinu Baruch's extrapolation is only as true as the statement was in Kachim. If Rebbeinu Baruch's yesod in Kachim is going to fall by the wayside, if we're going to find other Rishonim who say it's not true, that machshava in Kachim means machshava, doesn't mean dibur, then the whole nafla yesod, nafla binyan, then the whole extrapolation is going to fall by the wayside. So Rebbeinu Baruch is sitting in the Hilchos Sefer Torah, pupling about this shayla. He has a shayla at the level of their raisa. What's called lishma? What constitutes lishma? Does lishma for mitzvahs, for gittin, for sefer Torah, for tefillin, for mezuzahs, for sukkah, beishamai, to matzah? All these dinim of lishma, all these dinim deraisa, do they need a dibul lishma, or do they suffice with machshav lishma? So first he's pupling with truma. Truma's not so good. Then we found an erev halacha. It's very close. They're the psulei machshava. So the psulei machshava and the hechshe machshava seem to be related to one another. Just as the psulei machshava of kachim require dibor, so too the hechshe lishma of lishma of mitzvahs require dibor as well. So comes the Rambam and says the whole thing is not true. Comes the Rambam and he lists off in Sefer Avoda all the psulei machshava. He talks about psul pigol and psul noiser and lishma and psul machshava sechmer. Every single one, pages and pages and pages and pages. And every time he quotes the Lashon HaMishnah, HaMechashev B'Kachim, Psul Machshava, HaChoshev this, HaChoshev that, HaChoshev this, HaChoshev that, and 1,000 pages of details about Psul Machshava, not a word, literally, no pun intended, not a word, doesn't say the word, doesn't say, and by the way, every single case I'm talking about, don't mistranslate the word Machshava to mean thought. So the Pashas and the Rambam, if the Rambam held like Rebbeinu Baruch, that every time Chazal say Machshava, it really means Dibur, somewhere in those 100 pages, the Rambam should have told us that piece of information. So the Mishnah Melech writes that the simple reading of the Rambam is that if you translate it to English, the word makshava means a thought. Makshava means an intention. So the simple meaning of the Rambam is that he denies the whole Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch was building his whole case based on psulim makshava, assuming that psulim makshava meant what he thought it meant. We're not even sure that that's what it meant in Seder Kachim. And to make it even clearer, the Sefer Chinuch writes for Feirish that it doesn't mean Dibur. There's no Dibur. There never was a Dibur. The whole Dibur Dibur Lohayot Vamayano. So now, this whole Rabbeinu Baruch's extrapolation is hinging upon a statement in Kachim, and it's going to come back now to haunt us in the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah. Why is this going to come back to trouble us in Masechet Sukkah? Because the Mishnah speaks according to Bisham. And again, we don't even follow Bisham, right? But we don't follow Bisham because we happen to hold there's a quirk that Sukkah is not one of the mitzvahs that requires the Shema. But otherwise, Bisham is right on target. So Bisham may say the following. Bisham may say that you have to build a Sukkah L'Shema, it's Machav D'Rais, L'Chol Hashem Chayv, it's Mamash D'Rais, it's Pusl Min HaTorah without it. And then Bisham says, oh, by the way, if you built a Sukkah within 30 days before Sukkah, don't worry about it, because you probably had it on L'Shema. Probably had it on L'Shema. We didn't say L'Shema. So if you hold that L'Shema means Dibur, wait a second. He said, what do you mean you had him on the Shema? Even if I know I had him on the Shema, Bisham is even more makeup. Bisham says, you probably had him on the Shema. Probably from today till tomorrow. If you didn't verbally, orally express the Shema, says Dvar Matanim, it doesn't mean anything. So this Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah of Tesamid Aleph, which again is not even halacha, because it's all within Beishamai, this is going to become pivotal now in the discussion between the Rambam and the Chinuch on the one hand, and gets a bit of Baruch on the other hand. So we have a lot of work still cut out for us. Hopefully by tomorrow we'll have the Amar Makomos to help us in that work. So to understand a little bit more the Machlekes and Rishonim and Kachim, we have a little more Kachim to go tomorrow, hopefully, and then come back to Mitzvahs and try to figure out where in the world this came from. But it's going to lead us to a lot of discussions in Kachim. So it's probably going to be a more Kachim Shia than a Masechet Sukkah Shia. But we try to understand some of these sodas in Kachim. We'll be able to come back and understand a little bit better what's going on in Sukkah. Thank you.